for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the 2006 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Monday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, July the 3rd, 2006. Janie Hobson is the speaker of this service, teaching on Don't Let Fear Paralyze You.
Reproduction of this in part or its entirety for resale is expressly prohibited.
First thing I want to mention, last night's message wasn't that powerful. I was just, whew, wow. And I want to tell you that just like he kept talking last night, ladies, step up to the bat, you know, step up to the plate, I believe is how he put it. Well, I'm taking the first step today. I want y'all to know that you're my, well, not exactly my first, but because I'm like Brother Glenn, I'm having a little problem with my throat today. But my husband has pastored for several years. We were in our last church for about 18 years. And so I've had the opportunity to speak to our ladies many times. I worked with the children, then I worked with teenagers. So, but as far as me actually coming to a conference like this and being one of the speakers, and we know that there's a lot of ladies here that are very gifted, anointed speakers, and I told all of them as they begin to come to me and say, well, I'm going to have to miss your messages this afternoon, I thought, thank you, Lord, you are removing all of this pressure. So hopefully I'm just going to be able to visit with you ladies. I'm a very one-on-one type person. I know that, well, let's wait, and I'll try to get into this. You know, I just get so many thoughts and things going on that I forget where I'm at. First of all, I want to tell you who I am. I'm not Joni. I am Janie Hobson. And I don't know about the rest of you, but in my lifetime, I've kind of had some identity problems. Does that witness with anybody here besides me? But I was the daughter of Henry and Naoma. Then I married my husband, and I became the wife of Nathan. Then I began to have children, so then I became the mother of Lori, Tracy, Susie, and Christy. You know, and then all of a sudden, our second daughter had some real emotional problems and was unable to raise her daughter. So at the age of 45, when I was just getting rid of the last one, she was going to graduate from high school. In fact, Nathan and I had 6 whole months before we then again became mom and dad. So we raised our granddaughter. So then I became grandma, not only to her, but to all of her little friends. You know, nobody called me Miss Hobson or Janie or any. I was always Rainey's grandma. So then along came my children's children. There was Lydia, Justin, Amanda, and then little Nathan. So as you see, oh, maybe at about 50, I had a real crisis, you know. Who am I? Who am I, Lord? You know, who am I really, deep down inside? I don't know of anything else to be except somebody's wife, somebody's mother, somebody's grandmother. So I really, like I say, I had kind of an identity crisis. So I didn't know who I was, but you know, I went to a meeting. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that I was not a saved person, because I got saved when I was 12 years old. I didn't really fully understand everything that the Lord had done for me, but I did know that He loved me and that I was one of His children, you know. But I had a lot of struggles. I went backward and forward and backward and forward. But anyway, this particular time in my life, I went to this women's meeting, and this lovely woman ministered that day. And as she began to share, I was so overwhelmed. Diane mentioned yesterday a yearning to go back. Well, I didn't have that yearning. I had a yearning to go forward. I thought, Lord, I am so tired of not knowing who I am, what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I just had such a strong yearning. She talked about the Lord as if He were her very best friend. It was such a personal conversation that she talked about that she had with the Lord. And I just had such a desire to be like her, or at least to experience what she talked about. I went home and I told my husband, I said, you know, there's something missing. Something missing. We're going to talk about this in a little bit, too. but anyway, I had this terrible yearning. And so I began my search for trying to find out who I was in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm a child of God. I'm in the kingdom. And you know what I found when I got there? That just exactly like in my home, my family, I was one of seven. I was number six, mind you. And so, you know, that was about as confusing as it could get, because not a one of us were alike. And I found in God's family, not a one of us are alike, girls. Not a one of us. We all experience some of the same things, but we're not, any of us, just alike. And so that's what I found that the Lord wanted to do for me, was to have a personal relationship with me also. So I wanted to be another Joyce Myers. I even wanted to be another Cheryl Batts. I wanted to be like Carla. I had such a desire, but I am who I am. And I hope that as I share my testimony with you today, that it will be helpful to you. Maybe you're not a Cheryl or a Joyce Myers or someone that can stand in front of people and really be anointed to give forth God's word. You know, it just seems to well up inside of them and just gush forth. And I was telling Patty, she was praying for me this morning. I said, that's what I want to do. I just want to gush forth with God's word and everything that He's done for me. I hope that you all have a piece of paper, maybe just a notebook or something. If you don't, I have some paper up here that I can share with you if you'd like to. Anyone, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'd like for you to give me some feedback a little later on. Does anyone need paper right quickly? I'll just tear some out of my notebook here, and you need some? Okay. Hi, girls. Come on in. Whoa, I'm wired, and I keep forgetting about it. Got caught. Come on in. Anyone else need a piece of paper? I just ripped it out of there, so I'm shedding paper everywhere, it looks like. Okay, now don't get concerned, because this is not a test. I'm not going to take it up. Nobody's going to see this but you and the Lord, of course. Okay? So today we're going to talk about fear. And I would like for you just quickly to be very, very honest. And when I say the word fear, what immediately comes to your mind? I don't want you to try to be spiritual or anything like that. I just want you to really just jot down what it says to you. Okay, if you just kind of draw a line under that, and then as I go along here, I'd like for you to just make notes about the things that we address. The first thing I want us to do is I want to look at the definition of fear. In Webster's, he says alarm, dread, anxiety, and reverence toward God. And in Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, it says a feeling of reverence, awe, and respect, or an unpleasant emotion caused by a sense of danger. Fear may be directed toward God or man, and it may be either healthy or harmful. In New Unger's Bible Dictionary, it says, fear is an affection of the mind that arises with the awareness of approaching danger. But now the fear of God is what we want to talk about today. The fear of God is of several kinds. That which leads to abstinence from many sins through apprehension of punishment. Do you fear God? Do you fear what His punishment might hold for you? And that which has its spring in love and prompts us not to offend God and to endeavor in all things to praise Him. Now, the absence of godly fear is characteristic of a wicked and a deprived person. It is produced in the soul by the Holy Spirit, and a great blessing is pronounced upon those who possess this trait. It dreads God's displeasure, desires His favor, reveres His holiness, submits cheerfully to His will, and is grateful for His benefits. Sincerely worship Him and conscientiously obeys His commandments. Fear and love must coexist in us in order that either passion may be healthy and that we may please and rightly serve God. So, fear is an indispensable element in our being, don't you think? It can be a powerful creative tool. It can motivate us. Because of fear of ignorance, we've had schools that have been built, universities, because of the fear of people being ignorant, not having knowledge. So these schools have been built to correct that. And fear of disease has caused hospitals, medical, everything in the medical field, medical science has been created out of fear, because people don't want to be sick. They don't want to be sick. So fear, in a way, has created hospitals and doctors to try to take care of us. In Hebrews 11:7, we read, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah was not only moved by reverence to God and obedience, but he was moved by fear. When God began to tell him to build the ark, that he was going to create a flood to destroy the world, Noah was moved by fear, don't you think? I would have been, if God had spoke to me, I would have been moved by the fear of what was going to happen to myself, what was going to happen to my family, my loved ones. So he built the ark. And when we're very young, all of us, not only did our parents teach us, but we in turn, when your children came along, did you teach them to be afraid of fire?
Sure.
See? Cars, you know, don't get out in the road because the car, you know, be fearful of things that can cause physical harm to us. Be fearful of the satanic realm, of course. But abnormal fear, such as hysteria, phobias, obsessive anxiety, are usually a sign of demon activity. These types of fear can be paralyzing. So we're talking about motivational fear, fear that can motivate us to the point that we're going to get out of danger if we see it coming. It's going to motivate us to serve God. But obsessive fears are paralyzing. And I think most of us have secret fears hidden away in the attics or dark corners of our minds. Fear of the dark. Anybody guilty of that? Fear of animals. I have to confess, I have not overcome the fear of snakes. I'm still give them a lot of room. I'm not going to get out in their way. If I see them first, I'm going to go the other direction. A fear of insects, spiders. A lot of people have a phobia, you might say. I'm sure it has, what is it, acrophobia? Is that the name? Have a fear of spiders. Close places. A lot of people have fear of getting in an elevator. They don't want to be closed in. Fear of responsibility. Having children, I think, is something that all of us, as we consider the fact that, you know, we've got quite a responsibility there. So the fear of responsibility covers children, of course. Fear of old age and death. Of course, we know that Jesus overcame death. So we really don't have death to fear, though, do we? But we do have this physical body. My physical body is going to die. And a lot of people don't want to give it up, especially those that have not, made resolve their issues with God. They've got to be fearful. So, but as far as us as Christians, we do not have to fear death because we know that it is just a stepping over from this life into that life. Fear of going to the doctor. I've seen a lot of people that were afraid of doctors. They've heard so many horror stories that they don't want to go to the doctor, even when a visit to the doctor might save their life. So they fear a bad report to the point that they won't go. We want to address some guilty fears maybe that were hanging on from old sins of the past. So today we want to get all of our fears out into the open. We want to trace their development. Where did they come from? Why are they still there? That's the main thing. Why is that fear still hanging on? Why have you not been able to deal with it? Let's hear what God has to say about them, and then we hope to accomplish some deliverance here for some of you. Maybe this particular subject is not anything that's close to you. I'm just sharing from myself because it has definitely been an issue in my life. So let's start and let's find out where fear came from. In Genesis 3:9-10, the Lord called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." So we know the story. Adam and Eve had disobeyed. And that's how fear entered in, out of disobedience. And I know that, just like Carla, I've just been amazed. The message last night, he was talking about women be liberated and to step out and be bold for God. And then Carla comes along this morning and she touches on it too. But just look at Adam and Eve. Can you imagine what happened after the fall? Up to this point, they had been walking with God. They had had sweet communion with Him. Everything. He had built this beautiful garden. He had placed them in it. Everything was perfect. And after Adam and Eve tasted of the apple, that Shekinah glory of God fell off of them, and they were naked. Their sin had separated them from God, and so they tried to hide themselves. How many of you have, as soon as you committed a sin, you wanted to go hide? You didn't want anybody to know or to have that sin exposed for everyone else to see. So we withdrew from the one that was able to heal us of that sin. We withdrew. Adam and Eve withdrew. We withdraw from God. So, not only were Adam and Eve ashamed and fearful of being exposed and God knowing what they had done, but they also were afraid of what God's punishment might be. They knew that God had already told them some of the, you know, that they would die. Well, death was not a part of their lives at that time, so they had no real idea of what was going to happen. And Satan certainly had deceived them, just like Carla mentioned this morning. He certainly painted a much prettier picture than what actually happened. He led them to believe that, you know, that they weren't going to die. Well, they did die. They died spiritually. Okay? So, we see there that disobedience was what brought fear into being. So as we move along here, fear of rejection. They feared that maybe God would just totally reject them. He wouldn't have anything else to do with them. That would be the end of it. They didn't know what to expect. And so I think that a lot of us have to deal with that same fear of rejection. We're afraid that we're not going to be accepted by others. This can begin as far back as even when you were in the womb. Maybe you were an unwanted pregnancy. I know I was. My mother already had more children than she knew what to do with. This was in the latter years of the Depression. If my dad made a dollar a day, he was a very lucky man. I can remember my mom telling me stories about days that she would walk down to the river with all of us children, thinking that she would just step in and take us with them, because she had a turnip at home to feed all of us, plus her and my father. So I know that I suffered from that feeling from the day I could recall. You know, I come from a very dysfunctional family. My dad turned to drink in his years of frustration. He became a... You hate to tell stories, don't you? You know, take your skeletons out of the closet. But just to give you a little background of, you know, because I know that all of y'all have a story too. You know, if you're alive, you have a story. You've experienced rejection. You've experienced hurts. You've experienced things that I have. But like I say, I came from a very dysfunctional family. And out of that, as I grew up, one of the major things that I learned was to stay in the background. Stay as far away from the center of what was going on in our home as I could. Because if I got in the middle of it, then I was going to suffer some of the repercussions of it. So that was my escape, was to stay hidden, to stay away. Okay. Out of this fear of rejection, we see a lot of things. Cruelty of other children. I know as a, like I say, I guess to tell a story you have to just go through the whole thing, don't you? But anyway, as a small child, we were very, very poor. I can remember We didn't have the money for us to eat in the lunchroom, so we carried our lunches. My lunch consisted of a cold biscuit with maybe a piece of bacon in between, or sausage that was left over from breakfast, if we were fortunate enough to have that. But mostly it was peanut butter and jelly. I can remember that. And so as a young person, people made a lot of fun of me. So what did I do? I hid under the bleachers at school to eat my lunch because I didn't want to be out where anyone could see me. So anyway, like I say, I'm sure all of you, I had freckles. That was another. Just, you know, as you go down the list, and I'm sure you can too, if you're just mentally going along with me as a young person, I'm sure that you had all of these things too. And Satan loves it, ladies. He loves it because each hurt, each rejection, he just attaches more to you. These spirits come in and they just begin to attach to you a little more. Okay. You begin to fear to trust anyone. And that's very hard when you come to the Lord. After you have spent a fearful childhood of not trusting, not being able to trust anyone, then, you know, to try to step in and say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I don't have any fear of you. I trust you. I found it very hard to do. I did not. My dad was an alcoholic, and he did not love or cherish us children. We were just something that he had to supply the groceries and a roof over our head. We were never loved and cherished. So it was really hard for me to identify with a loving God that cared for me. Okay. So we have the fear of rejection. We fear to be hurt again. We are fearful that we won't fit in with all the other people, all the other kids and things. So let's look at Proverbs 29:25. I'm not going to be like Carla. I'm kind of jumping around, so if you just want to jot the scripture references, and maybe you can go back. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So, if there's anyone here today that's caught in a unhealthy relationship, the Lord wants to set you free. He does not want you in an abusive relationship. He doesn't want you to be a battered woman. There's a lot of women that are caught because of fear of man, of what men might do to you. I don't know why, but that just was the thought that came to me as I was studying. So it may not relate to anyone here, but I just wanted to touch on that. In Luke 12:4-5, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." You know, ladies, we've got to get a godly fear to have a true relationship with the Lord. We have to understand who God is, how powerful, how magnificent he really is in our lives. In Proverbs 3:7-8, it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." If we fear God, it's going to bring health to our navel. Just like I noticed, well, I don't know if we have any pregnant ones in here this afternoon, but I know, is it Tamara? I believe she told me she was 4 months pregnant. So she's nurturing that baby through the umbilical cord. And this is what God is telling us, that if we'll have fear of Him, we'll depart from evil and we'll begin to draw nurture from Him. And we know that the marrow inside of the bones is the blood cell structure. This is what keeps us alive. It's what goes on in the marrow of our bones. Proverbs 31:30 says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." I don't know about you, but I want to be praised because I fear the Lord. Because I'm serving Him. I'm trying to walk out my lifetime according to His commandments. In Proverbs 8:13 says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, hate pride, and arrogance, and the evil way and the forward mouth. God says He hates. He says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I want wisdom. And I want knowledge of God. In Proverbs 16:6, it says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Believe the truth about yourself. We are sinners. If you've been deceived into believing that you're not a sinner, then you're deceived. Because we are sinners. The Word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born of our father, the devil. The Word teaches us that. So we need to believe it. We need to accept the fact that we are sinners, lost, and going to hell without Jesus Christ. Say, we accept His mercy, His love, we ask for forgiveness, and then we walk in reverence or fear and obedience to God. It's our choice, but it's a very important choice that you have to make. In Proverbs 1:24-33, he says, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof or correction. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." There's going to be fear out in the world. There's going to be fear come upon you. "When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated thy knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Carla mentioned this morning. I will say, I've just been amazed at how God has just continued in the same train of thought. It says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Who does the world call simple? We Christians. They think we're simple-minded because we believe in a God that we cannot see. They think we're simple-minded, but it says that the simple are going to slay the ungodly. "And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Our knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has for us is going to destroy. "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." I want to be safe and secure and know that I have nothing to fear from the evil one. We're not the only ones that have been confronted by fears. In Genesis 15:1, I'm just going to give you some instances to hopefully encourage you out of the Old Testament. In Genesis 15:1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy increasing great reward." You know, Abram had begun to fear that God's word that had come to him about Sarah having a baby, that it wasn't ever going to happen. I mean, here they were up in their, 80s, 90s? 80? Okay. And so we assume that Abram was older than that. And they had passed that time in their lives when they could bear children. And Abram was beginning to be afraid that, well, God, you promised me, but it hasn't happened yet, you know? So he says, let me see what he said. He said, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." In Exodus 20:20, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." I believe that Diane mentioned this yesterday. Says, as God gave Moses the commandments up in the midst of the thunder and the lightning and the smoke and the trumpet, the people were afraid. I mean, they'd never seen or experienced anything like this before. They were just, you know, terrified. But Moses said, "Fear not. These evidences of God's power are not to destroy you, but to show you how powerful God is. That fear of Him is going to bring you to a place where you will sin not." And I do think that a lack of godly fear that's permeated our world today is, that is terrifying. That people can actually stand up and say that we don't have any need of the Ten Commandments, that we don't have any need of prayer. Now, to me, that is terrifying and fearful, that our country that was founded on godly principles has come to that point. In Deuteronomy 31:8, Moses encourages Joshua as he becomes the leader. And in verse 8 it says, "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." How many of you know that God is going to be with you? He's going to be with you. God will not ask us to go or do anything that He will not be with us. He's promised to be with us always. In 1 Chronicles 28:20, "And David said to Solomon his son, Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." So like we said before, God's not going to ask us to do or go anywhere that He's not going to be with us. In 2 Chronicles 23a, King Jehoshaphat was facing a battle that seemed impossible to win. It says in verse 3 that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. When fear comes upon you, ladies, where do you want to go? You want to hide? A lot of us do. When we're fearful, we want to hide. We want to get away from whatever is causing that fear. But where we should go is just like Jehoshaphat. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. In Second Chronicles 20:15-7, the Lord answered, he spoke through Jehaziel, and he says, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." As he looked out over this huge army that was coming against him, the Lord told him, says, the battle is not yours, but God's. And in verse 17, he goes on to say, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. In the New Testament, we read in the Apostle John encourages us. In 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. How many of you have been tormented by fears? Sure, I have. Lots of torment in fear. But let's back up to verse 15 and see what this is really saying to us. In verse 15 it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Does everyone in here believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes. Okay. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Do we believe that God is love? Okay. Do we believe that he loves us? You know, I think a lot of people believe that God is love, but do you truly believe that he loves you? You personally. God loves you. Each one of us in here, God loves us. Do we believe that he dwells in us? Okay. Making us perfect. What did it say? That his perfect love casts out fear. So if he's dwelling within us, why are we not having victory over fear? Okay? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So we may have boldness, knowing that we have nothing to fear in the day of judgment. But we also have nothing to fear as we walk in his commandments, as we act on his word, as we do what God has called us to do. We have nothing to fear. So our responsibility as a Christian, I think, is to apply the word to our lives, believe what it says, and believe that it means you. You know, I went around a lot of years and I kept thinking, ooh, I can pray for sister so-and-so, and you know, I believed it for her, but I just couldn't quite apply it to me. You know why I couldn't do that? Because Satan had me so bound up with fear of my past, fear of being laughed at or made fun of, all those things that I had brought from my childhood, they were still with me because I was not allowing the perfect love of Jesus to cast those things out. Okay? Paul writes these words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6-7. He says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Of course, Paul had laid hands on Timothy and had imparted to him. But Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He imparts that to us. He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to come and be your comforter, your guide. You know, He's going to give you power. So, okay. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is from God. And it says that because as He is, who? Jesus. What did Jesus do? He came, He ministered to people, He cast out the demonic spirits, He imparted that same power to us. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Okay? Under power, Matthew 10:1 says, And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. In 19, it says, Luke 10:19, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So what did he say? He says, I give you power, not only to work in yourself to get rid of these demonic spirits that have activity going on inside of you that brings out fear, but also to minister to other people. Yeah. So, under the spirit of love, John 15:9, it says, As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now, the ability to love others is a gift from the Lord, because He entrusted that love that He had for us, to us, for us, and for others. You know, it's I could go to a lot of scriptures to share this, but what I wanted to bring out is the fact that it's, you know, the scriptures tell us it's really easy to love the lovely ones. And he says, what good is that, you know? Even the heathen love each other, and they love the lovely ones, the ones that perform, the ones that do everything they want. But, you know, the unlovely ones, the ones that are caught out in sin, the ones that we really are a little bit afraid of, you know, we don't want to get mixed up in anything like that. We want to steer clear of it because we, you know, we're a little bit afraid of it. But Jesus wasn't afraid, was he? He walked out among the sinners. He actually went out of his way to be with the sinners. So, but the spirit of a sound mind, in Philippians 2:5-6, it says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. I think it was Carla that touched on this, or maybe it was Diane yesterday. But the covenant means to be in a companionship with. You know, when you make a covenant with someone, then you're agreeing to, you know, one party says this and another party says this, and then you agree on it. And you're in a companionship type relationship with that person. So it says that the secret of the Lord is with him that fear him. The innermost thoughts of the Lord are going to be revealed to us. I know she mentioned yesterday these mysteries that are going to be revealed in these later days. I think this is what this is talking about. If we have a godly fear, then we're going to be able to reap all of these things that are in the Scriptures for us. The innermost thoughts of God are in the Scriptures. So we need to get in the Word. We need to hear the Word. We need to apply it to ourselves. Okay? I told y'all this is going to be pretty short. Okay. Let's go back to this little piece of paper that we started out with here. And like I've already shared with you some of the things that went on in my childhood that kind of formed me as a person who I thought I was before I came into a relationship with the Lord and He began to reveal to me who He wanted me to be and who I could become in Him. So I don't know what you put on your paper when we first started talking about fear, but my fear has always been to stand up here in front of you ladies. This has been, in fact, I'm just so, you may not receive anything out of this today, but God has ministered something in me here today. There's never been a time that I've stood in front of a group before that I didn't turn beet red. My voice would shake. I would shake. I'm telling you, I was terrified. But today, I want you to look at me. I'm not shaking. My face may be red, but ladies, it's extremely hot in here. So but I do have this problem. Because I would be so embarrassed. But you know, the pastor's message last night, it just spoke to my heart. And like I say, I'm the first one to step up here, girls. And had I not known, I don't believe that his message revealed to me last night that out of godly love, I know that all of you ladies here love the Lord or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be searching for more knowledge, for more insight into how to draw closer to the Lord. You wouldn't be here. So I thought, they are going to love me. We're all on the same team. Even if I strike out today, girls, I know that you love me. We're still on the same team. And next time I come up to bat, I may be excellent. I may be like Carla and all of these other ladies that, you know, I'm just going to let God continue to do His work in me. That's right. Woman, thou art loose. I feel loose today. But God is so good, and He has been so precious to me. But if you do, if you wrote down a fear that you'd like to share, I'm all for input. I like for people to interact with me. Like I told you a while ago, I'm a one-on-one person. I love to minister to people. I love to share what God has done for me, what He's going to do for you as a liberated woman. Okay, so is there anyone that would like, I mean, you don't have to. I told you at the beginning that this was going to just be kind of a secret, no test, but if you would like to stand up and share what maybe your fear was, if you had one. Maybe everybody's fear-free. I'm the only one here.
I am. I've already been prophesied to that I was going to have my own business.
Praise God.
And, I'm obedient with God when He calls me to do something. I try to always do everything that He tells me to do. But I still have this fear of striking out and going on my own in my own business.
Okay.
That's my greatest fear.
Her greatest fear. Excuse me just a minute. Patty, do I need to get her up here so that this will be on tape?
Well, if you want it to be on.
Well, I just felt like that.
Yeah.
you know, if they're listening to the tape, we will. Okay. Now, your fear is that God has prophesied over you that you will start a business of your own.
And I do follow his obedience on what he asked me to do.
Okay.
And I have, I've just been really fearful by stepping out.
Okay.
And going out of my comfort zone, so to speak, into that area.
Okay.
That I might be too weak and I might fail.
Okay.
And I guess this is very fearful for me.
Okay. Okay.
That is my fear.
Okay. Can I do my type of ministry? Okay. All right. You said that someone has prophesied over you that this is... Okay, your pastor. Okay. And I don't know anything about the type of business that you're talking...
I'm a floral designer.
A floral designer. And you do know that you have the talent to do...
God has given me that.
Okay, ability. God has given you the talent... And it's been prophesied.
And I have been in business, in and out of different businesses, management, and everything for over 30 years.
Okay. So we can pretty well define that this is a demonic activity going on in you, trying to paralyze you. Is this business going to be a God-centered business? You're going to... You know, I think that's one thing is that, you know, when God asks us to do something or he tells us that he wants us to move out, then we've got to be sure that we're walking in his concepts and his commandments. And, you know, we're not going to get in this business and we're not going to try to, you know, cut our neighbor's prices. We're not going to, you know, okay. All right. You want to come up and we'll just pray for you. Can I have someone else to come and help me? Let's see, Patty, would you like to come? And...
I would love to, but I get called away so much.
Okay, so all right, okay. Well, I'm just so disappointed in this particular area that there's not some of the other ladies here. But I'm just going to pray for you. All right, okay.
Deal with automatic failure mechanism.
Automatic failure mechanism. Oh, my. Okay. Well, we're just going to...
That's my fear because I have... everyone knows me. Everyone knows the type of work that I do. Everyone knows that, and a lot of them have talked with me about doing something and the line that I can be more giving to the public for... things of God and to the churches and everything that really need something in their lives for the churches.
Okay.
And this is where I've been giving and sowing my seed more into the church areas and for people and giving gifts.
Okay. All right. Just gonna... Father, we thank you for this beautiful person that you've brought forth this morning. What is your name? I'm so sorry.
Vera.
Lord, you knew her name all along, didn't you? But I wanted to know her name, Lord, so that I could bring it before you. Father, I just pray for her that this fear of stepping out in an area that you have called her to do, Father, you've given her the talent, you've given her the desire to serve your people through this talent. And Father, this is such a needful area. This is a time when people come in their hour of sorrow, a time when they come in their hour of celebration. Lord, these are times that you could play such a beautiful part in their lives. And so, Father, we just pray that your anointing, your assurance would come now upon her. And Satan, we command that you take your hands, your thoughts, the things that you are bringing against her, the negative thoughts that are coming against her to stop her from performing what God wants her to do. So, bless you. Bless you.
Thank you.
You be free from fear. Free.
Thank you. Vera, I appreciate that. Anyone else? Well, I tell you what, if you... Okay, good for you.
Patty could probably tell you that a lot of what you said is me all over, okay? Oldest of eight kids, wasn't wanted. I mean, it goes, it gets a lot worse than that, okay? Fear of people's faces. For me to stand up there and sing, I can shut my eyes. I don't have to worry.
Well, I was afraid I would hurt myself.
But this is something I just started doing less than a year ago. Something that's always been in my heart to do, but I wouldn't do it until I realized that it had to be as unto Him. And whether y'all liked it or not didn't matter. Really? I mean, that was just how it was.
Right. We have to get bold.
But I have, you know, I almost every time we have a camp meeting, Patty will ask me if I've got anything to say. We preach to each other all the time.
Praise God.
But I mean, to tell you people, this is, and what you said a while ago about all the people that wasn't going to be here, I said, I can't teach in front of all the teachers. I can go someplace where there's nobody that knows anything, you know, and I can, they'll believe anything I tell them. But I can't, but I can't imagine getting up here and teaching in front of you or Carla or, you know, any of them, you know. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, it's, I want to do what God wants, but I'm not sure that God wants me to do that.
Liar devil. Liar devil. Because, you know, well, God loves you. He wants you to do what?
Oh, bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. You are so precious.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray that your spirit would just come now and comfort. Father, just give her strength. Father, give her a knowing that she's in the right place at the right time for the right purpose. Father, she's such an asset here at Lake Hamilton. She was so precious to me last year when I came. And Father, I know that she's ministered to many here. What a sweet spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Satan, we come against you now in the power of the Holy Ghost from instructions through our Lord Jesus Christ. We just cast you out now. These feelings of inadequacy, this feeling of not being worthy to be used, of not knowing what her purpose is. We just cast you out. We cast out the spirit of fear that comes against her when there's times that she could minister. We just cast you out. Father, we just pray now that you fill her. Fill her with boldness. Lord, boldness to just step out and say what's on your heart, what the Lord's given you. All these times that you've sat under the ministry and received the word, it's there. Brenda, I love you so much, and you know that if I love you, with just my, you know, just in my fleshly body and my fleshliness, how much more the Lord loves you. And He desires all good things for you. You be blessed now. Well, I'm not going to do any kind of corporate deliverance today because I think all of those bases have been more than covered. The main thing that I wanted to try to visit with you about today and to share with you was that fear, if it keeps you paralyzed, unable to move out in what God has called you to do, and we know that He wants us to minister to others, He wants us to receive His love, He, you know, He doesn't want us like me hidden back with the children. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with ministering to children. I had a wonderful time. The Lord taught me more studying for them than I probably would have ever learned on my own, because that was something that I could do. And I don't know that I'll ever accomplish this part, but I know that I have overcome that fear. Because like he said last night, I'm liberated, and I do know that you do love me. We're all on the same team, and that, you know, the ones that strike out this time, they may hit a home run next time. So don't ever be fearful to keep coming back up to bat, you especially. You just keep coming up to bat.
Thank you.
Coming up. Okay, so we're just, I know it's extremely early, but it's got to be cooler somewhere else than up here. So I would like to just, unless there's someone else that would like to share anything about fear, I just want us to really kind of stay focused on fear.
For the past year, I've been dealing with fear. Practically, that's all I've been dealing with. In a way, I used to have these nightmares, and they were. My pastor tells me I don't really go to movies, but my pastor tells me because the place where I live, they don't allow rock music and movies and stuff. So I've been having horrible, violent nightmares, and every night I wake up, I'll either start to scream, cry, or something, mm-hmm. and it gets to the point where I actually believe that they're real. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen to my mom. You know, my mm-hmm. mom at home, I have these nightmares with my dad or my sister. Mm-hmm. And I guess the one that targeted me the most was my mother, because in a weird dream, it was like I was the one who was doing it. And it was just all different avenues of the same situations, just violent. So I didn't know what to do about that. So I just started to pray and read the Bible and listen to other music. It helped, but when I'd cross something, I'd have a dream, and I'd remember it. Or if I'd be in a store and I'd listen to rock music, you know, accidentally or something, I would, or in my car, you know, I would fall back under the same kind mm-hmm. of torment. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is I don't believe that it's God's will for me to be tormented by dreams by just listening to rock music, but horror movies I can understand. I mean, bad horror movies, I can understand him wanting me to be tormented from, because that's, to me, that's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you live close to a cemetery?
No.
Did you say you listened to rock music?
She did. Oh. You don't anymore, right? Because I know we ministered to you last year when we were here. And that was definitely one of the things that we addressed, was the fact that you were listening to the rock music and that type of thing.
Well,
so you've not been doing that since you were here last year.
No, mm-hmm. that's why I know. I think it was the horror movies I used to see when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mm-hmm. rooted from that. I don't think it's rooted from exactly rock music, because I don't listen to like Kiss or whatever those heavy metals music is. I just listen to youth, you know, people that are around my age that sing songs, and it's just, I don't think it's God's will to me be tormented by those things, because that's in society, and you can't really help that. I mean, you could go Subway and you could hear it. You could go somewhere else, you could hear
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like something's going to fall right on you if it happens. But for horror movies, I think is wrong, and I haven't seen
sounds
any.
Sounds like that spirit that Carla was
talking about a deduction that has you now rationalizing that this is now a harm when it is.
Because there's no day when man fails in your leg, it's about to shake off.
Well, it is like Pastor Jim said the other night. You know, he says, if you continually go forward for the same deliverance of the same thing that you did the year before and the year before that and the year before that, then after the conferences are over, you are not going home and applying the word into you, you know, what you heard, the teachings that you were given when you were here last year. Did you go home and, you know, did you give up the rock music? Did you put lay it aside for a little while? See, so you know, you, our part is to apply the word to our lives. You know, if we continually go back and pick up the things that we've asked to be delivered from, I know my husband tells a story, and you know, I was witness to it, and this woman. She supposedly, for several years, you know, she kept wanting us to help her to give up cigarettes. She said, I just want y'all to pray for me that I'll be able to quit smoking. And then, you know, she got to the point, she'd been to a few deliverance ministries and things, and she came back and she says, Pastor Hobson, I want you to, you know, cast that demon of addiction out of me. And he said, have you put the cigarettes down? You know, have you actually laid the cigarettes on the altar and says, Lord, you know, I am serious. I want to give these up. I no longer want to be addicted to them. And she said, no. She said, I just want you to cast the demon of addiction out of me. And he says, no, I will not. Because he says, I can cast those that demon of cigarettes out of you. And says, then when you leave the church, when you step in your car and you light up that cigarette, then there's going to be seven more demons going to come along, you know. So this is the thing, is that what we're trying to do in these seminars and these teachings is teach you how to take action on what you've been taught, you know. Yes, you know, just like Norman Parrish has a book down there on the table that says, Deliver Thyself. Well, you know, you can come up here. We can all pray for you. We can cast out the demons. But when you deliberately walk back into that, like she said, you know, this spirit is there. You know, we can cast it out of you, but then he's going to come back and try to seduce you and entice you into coming back into that area of your life.
And it's not even a spirit. I mean, if you still have a desire to listen to that music, that's an act of your will.
Yes.
It's not a spirit. Like
it's a choice. It's a choice.
You want to listen to that music. So you're still not submitted enough to want to be sanctified and let go of the things of the world and to sow more to the things of God. If you sow to the things of the Spirit, you reap the things of the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you reap the flesh. So in this case, it's a matter of your will. You have to
decide. Amen.
Because you're the one that has the desire to turn that. Your arm isn't, like, mysteriously going to turn on that CD. Or you're making a conscious effort. I want to listen to rock music. It's not a spirit at this point. It's an act of your will. The spirit is going to be starting to be washed out once you stay in the Word and see God. Then it'll clear the way for that, the other seducing spirits to be identified. But at this point, you don't want, I would say that you are making a conscious effort to exert your will to want to listen.
Okay. And until you take all those CDs like that and go take them out there, stick them in a fire, pour some gas on them, strike a match and burn them, because I guarantee you the spirits test for that stuff. I torched a bunch of stuff of a kid one time and he absolutely went totally berserk.
And you keep saying that this music does not affect you. But I've listened to some of them, not a whole lot, but just a few. And this was back before, I'm sure they've even gotten worse, because this was back when my girls were teenagers and they, you know, kept bringing this stuff in. And I said, no, I want to sit down and let's really listen to this and see what the words are actually saying, you know, because most of it is so loud and so repetitious that it just doesn't really come to you what they're saying. But when you slow it down and you read, you know, those that have the jackets where it has the words and stuff, have you ever read what they're actually saying? Okay. Does that not offend you? It does not offend you.
It offends me.
It offends you.
Yes.
Okay. Does your spirit man not rise up against it?
Yeah, it rises up against it.
Okay. Are you being honest with me? I doubt. I have this feeling that, you know, because like I say, I know that we ministered to you last year, and we addressed the spirit of rebellion.
I'm not nearly as rebellious as I
am. Right. I understand that. I understand that. And I know that Sister Jerry even, you know, visited with her. I talked to her. I asked her, I said, you know, how is she doing? You know, and she said, you really have been much better this year. That
and
you're doing
to do
good.
Much better.
Just, yes.
I have to get over a couple habits and soul ties that I have.
Right, right. Well, see, you know, you talk about soul tie, this music. This music, you know, you've convinced yourself, you know, like she said, you're rationalizing why you should be able to continue to listen to it, but it doesn't bring glory and honor to the Lord, does it?
Why
there's nothing
you
in...
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Why would you bring honor and glory to God when you're going to McDonald's in your car or
it's
Walmart?
Because it says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. So, you know, if we're trying to become godly, you know, if we're going to allow Jesus to live in our heart, direct our paths everywhere we go. When you get up in the morning, that's the first thing you should try to center your mind on, is giving praise and honor and glory to the Lord, so that your day is filled with nothing but. Okay?
I guess I read the Bible more, and I have a radio, and I stick it in my trailer, and I... When I'm, the days I'm off of work, I'll clean my house and listen to Christian programs.
Okay, okay. Well, we do know that praise drives out, you know, demonic activity in your home.
It does.
So, you know, I used to just put tapes in and turn them up loud and, you know, just continue. Because it puts you in an attitude of praise and worship.
You need to pray 24/7.
24/7. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I appreciate you, though. I really do. Because I know that there's something within you that's crying out. There is something within you that's crying out. You truly do want to be delivered of all of these things. But, you know, like we said a while ago, you've got to believe God's word and you've got to apply it to you.
I guess I never understood it quite. I mean, not even last year. I was so... narrow-minded,
right.
I didn't even
right.
understand,
right.
and I think I understand a little bit more.
Right. Well, you just keep coming to the meetings, keep studying the Word, and pretty soon, you're going to be able to really grab hold of it. And God's going to do a miracle work in your life. He did mine, so I know He can in yours. It'll be all right if I dismiss anyone that really does not need ministry this afternoon, or... if you'd like to leave, we want you to feel free to. If you stay, I do ask that you don't visit amongst yourselves. I would ask that you be in intercessory prayer for what's going on here this afternoon because you know, it's a serious thing. And we don't want any kind of... So please feel free to go if you need to.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.